attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll free. 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
New restrictions coming in from the Trump administration that will hamper sanctuary cities.
The new restrictions include two big changes, one giving ICE agents greater access to local jails and prisons, and cities receiving Justice Department funding must also provide 48-hour notice before releasing any illegal immigrant wanted by federal agents. The policy changes coming amid a major crackdown on illegal immigration by the Trump administration. I'm Chris Barnes.
President Trump calling out a Republican senator over her vote against the GOP health care effort yesterday. Trump criticized Lisa Murkowski of Alaska on Twitter, saying, quote, "Senator Murkowski of the great state of Alaska really let the Republicans and our country down yesterday. Too bad," unquote. Murkowski said she's not worried about the president hurting her reelection chances because she's focused on representing the people of Alaska. While Murkowski has won three terms in the U.S. Senate, she's never actually won with a majority of the vote. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Right now at the Home Depot, Ortho Bugby Gun 32-ounce concentrate, ready to spray, or 10-pound bag is your choice, two for just $10. There's no magic to making bugs disappear, but there is Bugby Gun. It'll knock out over 100 types of insects for fewer pests in your lawn and more money in your pocket. Start your own disappearing act with Ortho Bugby Gun. Your choice, two for just $10, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Out through August 2nd while supplies last, U.S. only.
A group of scientists are claiming that sperm counts in males are declining to the point it could endanger the human race. Here's more on that story from Mark Mayfield.
That's the warning from the lead author of an assessment of 40 years of international research. A research project known as the Human Reproductive Update combed through nearly 200 studies of men in North America, Europe, Australia, and New Zealand. They found that the sperm counts fell by half from 1973 to 2011. The lead author tells the BBC that he's worried that people could become extinct if that trend continues. He blames the decline on changes in the environment and chemicals that people are being exposed to.
Reality TV star Kat Von D being accused of bigotry after she told a contest winner she wouldn't really be welcome to accept her prize because she's a Trump supporter. Gypsy Freeman had posted on her Facebook timeline on Election Day a Trump slogan. She was then contacted on Instagram by Kat Von D after she won a contest that included a trip to a launch party for Kat Von D's makeup brand. Von D said that she would have a hard time inviting anyone to her event who supports Trump. Kat Von D later claimed in a response that it wasn't for political reasons that she wasn't comfortable, but that she also wouldn't welcome anyone that supported Hitler either. Supporters of Von D say she didn't actually tell Freeman she couldn't come, just that Von D would find it really difficult to associate with anyone who would support Donald Trump. USA Radio News reached out to the parent company that produces the makeup for Kat Von D. They have not responded. USA Radio News.
Did you know that one in five people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
All right. Welcome to Talented People. I'm Jeannie Murphy. Good afternoon. I hhope you're having a great day. It is the 26th of July, around 3:05 in the afternoon, and I'd like to give you an update on the forecast if you happen to be in the central New Jersey area. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low about 63. Patchy drizzle before 10 a.m. and slight chance of showers between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. on Thursday. Basically, Thursday night, chance of showers and thunderstorms, then showers likely with the possibility of a thunderstorm after 1 a.m. Precipitation about 70%. Heavy rain, actually, and cloudy as well. Friday, showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm. Some of the storms could produce heavy rain, cloudy with a high near 81. And then Friday night, showers and thunderstorms likely, mostly cloudy with a low about 64. Partly sunny all day with a high of 79 on Saturday. And then partly cloudy with a low around 62 on Saturday night. Mostly sunny all day with a high of 81 on Sunday. And mostly clear with a low about 62 on Sunday night. That continues on Monday, mostly sunny all day with a high of 83 and a low of 64. So we're in for some beautiful weather, and you're in for an awesome edition of Talented People today, hosted by my friend Carol Gable. So stay with us, and we're going to learn about the lonely entrepreneur. We'll be right back.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Hey, everybody. It's Carol Gable. I have the good fortune of pitch hitting for Jeannie Murphy today. Welcome to Talented People. It is another great fortune of mine to have an amazing talent in our studio today. His name is Michael Dermer, better known for his book called The Lonely Entrepreneur. Michael is one talented gentleman, he's an entrepreneur himself. I'm not going to steal his thunder. I just want you all to know how much I really respect him. And as you know, we've got quite a tribe that follow this radio station, and I'm so glad to introduce him to all of you. Michael?
Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. So, Michael, I'd like to go back, you know, go back to when you weren't a lonely entrepreneur. What did you do before you became lonely?
So I was a corporate lawyer, New York City law firm doing mergers and acquisitions, did that for about 3 years, but I was really looking to start a business, and then I just got hit with it like a lot of us entrepreneurs do, and stumbled across a business basically to reward people for being healthy. This is in the early 2000s. I saw a stat that said, you know, for every 10 pregnant women that don't follow their prenatal care, mm-hmm. it costs the healthcare system $1 million.
Right.
So I was like, well, wait a minute. Why wouldn't you just bribe these 10 women? and the system can save tons of money. And that was it. That was the beginning of the end. You know, once you get the idea, like a lot of us entrepreneurs just started business planning and then, you know, made the leap from the, you know, cushy big law firm job to, you know, working on a business plan and trying to build a business from scratch.
Yeah, I have this great theory about adversity. You know, in the Chinese symbols, you know, when you look at their symbols, the symbol for adversity and opportunity, they're virtually the same. You can't tell them apart. So what was an adverse situation for you ended up being a great opportunity. So when the adversity hit, what happened? Like, what prompted you to look at entrepreneurs and see the need, you know, to develop, you know, what you have for them? What prompted that?
You know, it all led to what we're doing today with The Lonely Entrepreneur, but when I left to start that business, it didn't exist. Not only did it not exist, it was pretty much offensive to the healthcare industry. We're going to reward people for being healthy. So we fought for 6, 7, 8 years, built the company up, but really had to evangelize and convince the healthcare industry that they had to reward people for being healthy. At about 2008, so this is the better part of a decade, we had invested some of our own money, we had taken venture capital money, and we had built the company up to a really sizable company, about 400 employees by 2008.
Wow.
And we had really, quote-unquote, made it at that point. And literally the world came crashing down around us because of the financial crisis of 2008. A business that was pretty big got cut in half almost overnight. So we spent the next 2 years, you know, working 20 hours a day, just battling, scratching, clawing. And, you know, the experience of just building the business that, you know, probably a lot of the listeners have, that's, you know, gut-wrenching enough.
Mm-hmm.
But to have made it and then watch it all get collapse so quickly, And if you remember what happened in the financial crisis, nobody sent you a telegram and said, oh, by the way, the world's coming to an end. So
there was no, hey, heads up.
Big boys and girls stuff. So the next 2 years was just battle, scratch, claw, try to really survive. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, we were able to, there was a lot of interest in healthcare on the other side of the recession. And then we got a lot of attention on us when we got bought a couple of years later. And it worked out amazingly, financially and otherwise. But it was a wild ride, an amazing learning experience.
You know, in some ways, I think it's your good fortune that you did go through that, because you certainly can be empathetic to others that are taking a similar ride, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's really what led to The Lonely Entrepreneur. I mean, I had this idea that, wow, if you went through this, you really should be able to help other people. Because as we know with entrepreneurism, it's not just a business. It's personal, financial, emotional, family, money, all boiled together. And it can make or break families, you know, all of the stuff that you and I have talked about many times.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was literally doing some entrepreneur coaching, just helping people after I had sold my business, having some fun. And the one common theme with everybody I was coaching was the struggle. It didn't matter whether it was man, woman, young, old, big, small, or the industry. It was the struggle. And one of them said to me, being an entrepreneur is really lonely. And I was like, wow, there really isn't a place that entrepreneurs go that get the struggle, but they can actually provide them solutions that they can actually apply. So that was, again, the beginning of the end, number two for me. So I feel, I don't know if I would have admitted that at the time I felt incredibly fortunate to be getting kicked between the legs five times a day. while the world was collapsing, but certainly later,
right?
I feel incredibly fortunate that kind of now my life's journey is to try to help people all over, not just the United States, but the world, turn the struggle into success. So it's an amazing.
You know, it's interesting too. It, you know, you get these little buzzwords, right, that become household names. Mm-hmm. You know, cyber, fitness, you know, and then entrepreneur. So entrepreneur means something to everybody, right? You could be all alone, mm-hmm. or you could be within a company, which I kind of refer to as an intrapreneur. Mm-hmm. But you're still, you know, like there's so many financial consultants out there, mm-hmm. you know, with your background and whatnot, right? Yet they're under an umbrella, but they're still out there, you mm-hmm. know, the lone wolf without really a pack, right?
Yep.
So there's a bunch of different terminology within the entrepreneur community, right?
Yeah. I think that entrepreneur used to be somebody who left a job to go do something. Now it's a mindset. And whether you're within a company, we all know you could be working for IBM or started your own flower shop or everybody in the middle. And everybody talks, you know, about their side hustle. What am I going to do? It's a very small percentage of the population that works up every day and says, I'm just going to work for corporate America or a large company. I think the disservice we've done to entrepreneurs is no one's given them a map.
Right.
It says, you know, when I started, you were just the one out of 100 black sheep that was dumb enough to leave a corporate job and go do it. You knew what you were getting into, and there wasn't nearly as much time pressure, competition pressure. You had time because nobody else was doing it.
Right.
Now it's everybody. And so I think we really have done a disservice to entrepreneurs by really not showing them how to do it, and especially how to do it under the pressure that they're under.
Yeah, as you well know, right? So I want to talk more about the map, the journey, and how you would help the listeners that are out there that are maybe thinking about starting a business, mm-hmm. that are in the infancy of their business. Maybe they've been doing it a while and they hit a brick wall mm-hmm. like you did.
Yep.
And, you know, just kind of explore a little bit more about some of the challenges mm-hmm. that entrepreneurs face. So, you know, we'll take a little break and then we'll come back and talk a little bit about navigating those murky waters.
Great.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambee's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambee's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon, or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31 south of Clinton, Pambee's, purely delicious.
See now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
It's Carol Gable and Michael Dermer. Welcome back to Talented People, everybody. So we were just discussing the lonely entrepreneur and the differences within the entrepreneur community. You know, for those of you listening, you know, you may be at home saying, oh my gosh, I've got the greatest chocolate chip recipe, you know, cookie recipe, or my mother always made the greatest sauce or gravy, whatever you want to say, in New Jersey. And I really wanted to do that. I've always wanted to do that. Or, you know, you may already have a business and you're struggling and hitting a brick wall and you're thinking, should I stay or should I go now? Or, you know, are you in a corporation and you're hitting an age and you say, hey, I've always wanted to do this, but I'm afraid, you know, I have that security or what we think is security. And, you know, so we all have different stages of entrepreneurship. So we were talking about the definition, and now we're going to talk a little bit about navigating those waters. And, you know, I always refer to Michael as the entrepreneur guru, so I'm going to pass the mic over to him and, you know, see how he got in his canoe and took the paddles and rowed.
You know, I was pretty formally trained, and I was a mergers and acquisitions lawyer and a finance guy, but the one thing I found and was really surprised by is that despite all the number of people that were pursuing entrepreneurism, it was incredibly disorganized, the way you try to figure out how to do it. You know, if we walk into a car dealership, we pretty much know the car has four tires and a wheel and a motor. And if you asked 100 people, you know, what does it mean to be an entrepreneur, there wasn't any real roadmap for people to do it. So I think the first thing you really need to be able to do is to say, what is a business, right? So let's say you take your chocolate chip cookie example. You could make great cookies. You could be an amazing doctor. You could be a chef, right? Well, let's say the chef goes, great, I'm formally trained in Paris, and I wake up and now I'm going to start a restaurant. But what do I know about people? What do I know about real estate? So I think one of the biggest things is really just, what is the framework of what is a business? I know what we tried to do with The Lonely Entrepreneur is provide that framework. So we said there's 12 parts of a business. It's sales, marketing, finance, operations, just so people can have an understanding of this is what the car is supposed to look like. I don't necessarily need to know all of it. I just know that's what it's supposed to be. Like, you don't go into a car dealership and say, I have to know exactly what's in the engine. You just know it has to have an engine.
Right. And you don't, the car salesman doesn't say to you, here's six manuals. Here's one for your engine. Right. Here's one for your, you know, tires, right, et cetera. It's one manual. Yeah.
Imagine if you walked into a car dealership and all the parts are on the ground. That's what it feels like to be an
right.
entrepreneur. And
right.
you'd like put it together without a roadmap. So I think first and foremost, I think of it as almost a map or a framework that says, this is what a business is, right? I understand it has sales, marketing, finance, operations, managing myself, setting up a company, whatever that is. Then within the context of that, it's different from when I started. You know, when I started, if you had passion and grit and a good idea, you were good. Because not that many people were doing it, right? 1-800-Flowers was a really, really, really good idea back then. Today, it's a really dumb idea, right? Because anybody can go on the internet and create a flower store, right? So I think the challenge for entrepreneurs is it's not just passion, right? Anybody who says you just have to be passionate or you just have to have grit, they will just run into the same wall over and over and over again. The key is within that framework of, you know, those 12 areas, like let's say sales or finance or operations, the key is how do you improve your skills as an entrepreneur each and every day? How do I make my sales message a little bit tighter? How do I make my go-to-market where I differentiate myself a little bit different, right? If you take those chocolate chip cookies, right, and you go to Godiva, they're going to say, we have plenty of chocolate chip cookies, right? But if you take those chocolate chip cookies to Croatia, they might be the greatest cookies on
right.
the planet. So, but it's not one big thing, right? It's a bunch of little things that once you understand the framework, you can say, oh, I don't know that much about finance, but I can either learn it or not learn it. And you're also doing that in the context of being in the midst of the struggle, you know, in the midst of being under the pressure. You know, we've all had friends and family who, for all the right reasons, say, just go take a weekend off, right? All these tools and idea, unless you've been in the struggle and knows what it feels like, you can't apply them. You're like, what are you talking about, take a weekend off, right? So the skills that you learn are not just business skills. You know, they're personal skills. So, like, for example, when my business was collapsing, somebody said to me one time, man, you need to sleep more. And what do most entrepreneurs in my situation say?
I have time
like,
to sleep, right?
What are you, crazy? My business is collapsing. And then I fell asleep on a couch in my office for like a half hour at like 4:30 in the afternoon one day, and I felt so much better. And you realize that sleeping is actually a skill. So if you sleep better, you're more rested. There's hundreds of these. And what happens is you incrementally get better at them. So when you go to make your first hire, right, and you're under pressure, and so anybody who's breathing across the other end of the table, you'd be like, they're perfect.
Right? So desperate.
So what happens? I hire them. They're not the right fit. And 6 months later, I'm slower and I'm struggling. As opposed to, why wouldn't you just go to a colleague that has no horse in the race, whose judgment you respect, and say, would you mind interviewing this person? And they'll come back and say, and they'll be objective. So it's not just business. It's personal. It's business. And if you understand these are the wheels and these are the tires, may not have to get all those, but you understand how when you improve these skills, you actually start to see success. So if you make a good hire, now you have somebody, you have more resources, you do better, and X, Y, and Z. And I could go on for hours and hours, and that's what we, at LonelyEntrepreneur.com, that's what we try to do and certainly try to do in the book as well.
So let's talk about the book. You know, when you decided to write the book, for somebody out there that, you know, has no knowledge of the book, what was in your mind and what could they gain from reading this book? What were the key points that you wanted to drive home?
First of all was, it always bothered me that people who didn't really understand the struggle would give advice. And so the first thing was, it's a pretty open view of our story. There's some things in there that are really embarrassing that are true and some stories that I'm not so proud of. But it really tells you what it's like to be in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. And then from that, recognizing what it's like to be in the struggle, right? And that that entrepreneurs feel overwhelmed, right? And they feel under the pressure. And all the time, you know, you care about it more than other people care about it, right? And a friend will say, well, why do you price that way? And it's almost like somebody's criticizing your baby, like all those things that you go through. But then what to do about it, you know? So it was really kind of a combination of making people understand that you're not in it together, and somebody like me who was formally trained, had a really good background, went through it. But then, okay, what can you do about understanding what's going on? And then you get into like the tactical things. Okay, what do you actually do to sell better, to raise money, to hire people better, and all along the way? But for me, it was funny writing the book, because at the time those stories were crazy, right? And awful.
Give one. Just one.
This one's not that, not, it's pretty embarrassing. So I was driving to a sales meeting in New Jersey with a sales professional that had just joined me. She was about a 26-year-old woman going with the CEO to kind of tag along. And I'm driving like crazy. I'm late to the meeting. I'm on my phone, you know, before Bluetooth, whatever, and doing all those things and going, weaving in and out. And we get about half a mile. We're late because of me as well, right? We're half a mile away. And she goes, could you pull over? And I'm like, what do you mean we're late? Right? She goes, pull over. And she opens up the door and just starts puking all over the place, right?
Oh, gosh.
So that's not even the bad part of the story. So she finishes, gets in the car. We drive to, it happened to be ADP we were going to see, and goes into the bathroom. And I was so crazy and ridiculous, is the only thing I could think of was, I wonder if she's going to smell like puke in the meeting. I mean, when you're an entrepreneur,
the things that go through
you're in la la land.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, you just have those experiences. But the key is, you know, how do you manage all that pressure while and all the things that are going on to actually improve on those incremental skills, right? To understand that that's happening so you can actually have a chance at advancing your business.
Incredible. So for those of you that just joined us, my guest today is Michael Dermer. I'm in for Jeannie Murphy today, so I feel very fortunate. And Michael has written a book called The Lonely Entrepreneur. And Michael, if our audience wanted to purchase the book, how could they get the book and tell us more about that?
So they can go to Amazon, of course, or just go to lonelyentrepreneur.com. In addition to the book there, there's also a free, what we call, perspective of the day. So all these little skills that you learn, you can sign up and you get a free daily perspective to your inbox. And all that's available at lonelyentrepreneur.com.
Okay, so we are at the point where you decided this is your new mission, this is what you're going to do moving forward. So did you write the book or did you start counseling? Like, what was your path and how did you start? So all the entrepreneurs that are listening are probably thinking, so how did this guy do what he did? You know, did he write the book first? Did he counsel? Did he build up, you know, did he know a lot of people? How did you?
You know what it was for me? It was just, it was so great to be able to, regardless of the how and regardless of the products like a book and the community we'll talk about in a minute, mm-hmm. it was just all about turning the struggle into success for entrepreneurs. So there was no lack of that. You could walk into a Starbucks in any town in America and just sit down. And two people next to each other are having the same exact problems and they don't know what to do with it. So every single interaction is incredibly rewarding because you just give them a tip or something to help them feel better, do better, whatever it is, and they actually go back to their desk and actually have a better chance of success. So that's always the mission. The mission is always about, you know, could you leave entrepreneurs that they go back and have a better chance? We started with the book and then we built this thing we call the community, which was really an online learning platform for entrepreneurs where they could go and look at these 12 areas that I mentioned and have video basically learning and teaching with a whole bunch of an online community around it and things like that to try to help lots and lots of entrepreneurs who we couldn't help face to face. But the one thing that's great is that there's so many ways to help, right? When somebody bakes the chocolate chip cookies, right, there's so many things that they need to know. So you don't have to sit down and pay some consultant, you know, $25,000 that you don't have, right? But if you can prevent somebody from not, you know, filing for a patent that they're never going to apply for or, you know, never defend, or hiring the wrong person, or just tightening up their sales message a little bit, that's the part about it is we just try to touch as many people we can. And we did it originally through the book and the community, and now the book's coming out in Spanish and we're going to Europe and doing all this crazy stuff. So it's really
so fun. Exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about the other countries and recently, right? I think we have a few minutes before the break.
Yep. So we literally went to a book fair in Mexico and somebody came up to me and said, I want to publish your book. And I was like, you haven't read it. He goes, I don't care. It's the title. I think it's just the energy that we all feel about the struggle of being an entrepreneur. So we're doing a big book tour in Mexico City and Guadalajara. And you know, you just see the passion of not just the United States, but everywhere throughout the world.
Yeah. Well, look at even in the United States, the diversity and all the businesses and, you know, especially with the Hispanic, you know, community, they're
yep.
very interested in entrepreneurship.
Yep.
The Asian Indian community, if you look around the country, a lot of them are super entrepreneurs and look, they're in America. They even have the disadvantage of not, you know, having it as their first language.
Yep.
So if they could do it, we could all do it.
Yep.
Right.
What's really interesting about it, because we've also had the book come out in Dubai, we're doing some stuff in Shanghai and China, but it's interesting because the common theme, while the cultures and languages are different, the common theme is always about the struggle of being the entrepreneur. You know, regardless of, there's not a country out there where you go, if I just go there, I'm in a blue zone where you don't have the struggle. We all have the same issues, and even though it might be in a different language or currency or place.
Right.
And so everybody's trying to solve the same issues. And so, you know, we're doing some things in different parts of the world, but you could go to any coffee shop in America or in Shanghai or Dubai or Peru or Slovenia, and people are talking about the same things, which is, you know, I'm doing my chocolate chip cookies and I don't know how to do it, or I'm doing it and I'm not having as much success, or I'm having success and I'm growing and I don't know how to manage, you know, just the issues are the same.
you know, when we're talking about navigating now and, you know, your background, so it's a nice storyline that we're creating here. We're going to take a little break, but after the break, I want to get down to basics. Let's talk a little bit about the website when we come back. You know, the entrepreneurs out there that are thinking that they are alone and that there are these fragmented pieces of their business, which I refer to as risk, right? So I'm in risk management. So yep. I look at it, for every fragment that isn't connected, it's a risk to your business, right? So when we come back, I want to talk about ways that we could really help everybody out there, okay? So we'll be right back.
Great.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
We are restoring our government's allegiance to its people, to its citizens, to the people that we all love.
President Trump at a rally last night in Ohio talking about what his administration has done to bring jobs back to the U.S. and to help curtail illegal immigration on the southern border.
We are keeping our promises to the people. And yes, we are putting finally, we are putting America first.
A Pakistani man under investigation for illegally accessing the computer system of the House of Representatives arrested trying to flee the country. Imran Awan was charged with bank fraud in a case unrelated to the hacking investigation. Awan worked for a number of Democratic congressmen and until yesterday was on the payroll of Democrat Debbie Wasserman Schultz. And the Fed says they may raise interest rates one more time this year, but it won't be in July. They're leaving rates the same. USA Radio News.
All day long you hear ads for prostate pills, all promising to end your prostate troubles fast and easy. But how do you know which pills really work and which ones are garbage? The answer is ProstateReport.com. We took every prostate pill on the market, all the top brands, and spent a fortune to have them laboratory tested to see what is really in each brand. The results were jaw-dropping. You'll be shocked when you see what garbage some of the leading brands are really selling you. So go to ProstateReport.com and see the lab reports and reviews the prostate pill companies don't want you to see. Find out which pills really work and which ones are just a big waste of money. This website is already a blockbuster, and right now, this information is still absolutely free. So say goodbye to your prostate problems once and for all. Go to ProstateReport.com. That's ProstateReport.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to Talented People. For those of you just joining me, I'm Carol Gable. You're missing my beloved friend, Jeannie Murphy, but she will be back, I promise. And I'm delighted to have Michael Dermer with me today. He's the author of The Lonely Entrepreneur. And we were just talking a little bit about how the book came to be and a little bit about the website and entrepreneurship in general. And the last comment that I made was about fragmentation, you know, and how... having a business as an entrepreneur, it's multifaceted. You know, you've got the finance side. It isn't as if you have these departments that you have when you have a corporation. Yeah. You've got the legal department, you've got the accounting department, you've got HR. When you're an entrepreneur, you become all of those departments. Mm-hmm. That's overwhelming. I know because I did it. And I did it recently. I did it 2 to 3 years ago. And even though I have legal background, I have risk management background, I find myself struggling in different areas that, you know, it's impossible to be everything all the time. And unless you've got people around you that are always supporting you, it does become very lonely, and it also becomes very scary, you know, because for most of us that are entrepreneurs, we've invested a lot of money and time, and you talk about families, and it's you alone that have made this decision. Mm-hmm. It's not as if you're in a company and someone else is making decisions. You come home and you tell your wife or your husband, can't believe this happened to me today.
Yeah.
When you go home and you say, this happened to me today, it happened because you kind of made it happen. So for those that are looking for a little safe haven, and this is what I think about with your website, which I dearly love because it incorporates in a holistic way all of those areas that we all need to pay attention to as an entrepreneur. So I'd like you to talk a little bit about some good things, you know, about when we go to that website and we do visit and go into the community and everything you've created, you know, why that's so important to an entrepreneur.
Yeah. And listen, the rewards of being an entrepreneur are amazing. We talk about all the challenges along the way, but they are, you know, personally and professionally, there's nothing like it. from a business perspective. We created what we created because of the need, is that as soon as you know, we discovered this thing that, wow, there's no place for people to go. People wanted one place that kind of organized it all for them, right? So if you're throwing a, if you're somebody that likes to entertain and you throw a dinner party, you get it. You just kind of know, right? You know what the different parts of the meal are. You want the entertainment. It's just natural to. And if you work on a car, right, it's the same. Like, and so that's what we really tried to do with what we did. First of all, we wanted people to get insights and tools for free. And so we created this thing that I mentioned before. It's all at lonelyentrepreneur.com called the Perspective of the Day. So every day into your inbox, you get one of these little tips, right, that tells you do this, try this, that, that if you've never interacted with anything that we've ever done, at least can make you better, because that's really our mission.
I read them every day.
You read them every day.
Yes.
Sometimes they're personal, sometimes they're professional, sometimes they're a mix. But what we really did is we built this thing called the Lonely Entrepreneur Community. And the Lonely Entrepreneur Community essentially is a couple of things, but the main part of it is an online learning environment that breaks a business into these 12 different areas, you know, setting up a company, finance, sales, marketing, you know, differentiating your offering, generating revenue. And in each of those areas, there's anywhere from 10 to 20 video lessons, little bite-sized lessons on, you know, if you're raising money, what is valuation? Mm-hmm. What are income statements, right? So all the individual pieces. And it's not really meant to go and do it all at once. It's meant to kind of be with you at every step of your journey. So if somebody says to you, I love chocolate chip cookies, go write a business plan. And you go, yep. And then you go back and go, oh, man, I don't know what a business plan is.
Right.
You go and you look up the business plan and you see a video. So we really tried to say you go back there and it starts to make sense to you about what is a dinner party? You know, what is a business? We added to that an online community so we can all talk, laugh, share, cry, do all that stuff together, as well as live weekly video chat with me and my team. So once a week, everybody gets on. Sometimes it's two people. Sometimes it's 2,000 people. And all talk about, you know, how do we learn better? How do we collaborate? And then we added into that some tools and templates, like some legal agreements and business plan formats, and then vendor reviews. So reviews of the most commonly used, like software, like accounting software and things like that. So I don't know if we covered everything, but we certainly wanted to give people that roadmap so you can go in there and say, I can go to the pieces that I need when I need them. So when somebody says to me, well, how does your cash flow statement look? And you're like, I don't know what a cash flow statement is. You can go to the section called cash flow statement and learn what you need to learn. But it was just so interesting to me and frankly surprising to me that an area that was so rabid in terms of the interest that nobody had organized all this. And so that's what we really tried to do.
Right. I found that as well. You know, if you have financial problems, there's a ton of people around that want to help you with finance. But there isn't the synergy of having the marketing, the sales, the all the knowledge that you really need. And I love what when you say bite-sized pieces, you know, because you get novels of this stuff and it's not digestible.
Yep.
You know, for someone that needs a quick fix, you know, and it happens when you least expect it.
Yep.
Like you said, you know, evaluation, like I have to give an answer to my accountant or I have to give an answer to somebody and I don't know what that means.
Yep.
You don't have time to read a whole book on it.
Yep. And what you start to realize too, one of the skills that I mentioned before that you have to develop is knowing what you know and what you don't know, what you like and what you don't like and what you're good at and not good at. So it doesn't mean you have to be good at all these things. You might say, okay, finance, cash flow statement, boy, that sounds terrible to me.
And it does to me too.
Right, to some people. But at least you know it and you could say, oh, how do I reach out and get that done with other people? And sometimes those other people can be free. Right?
Yeah.
You can get an MBA student from a local school that can help you. But the idea, like you said, is one of the things I noticed was that there was an amazing amount of good information out there produced by everything from the Small Business Development Center to local colleges to venture capital firms and everything in the middle, chambers of commerce.
Mm-hmm.
But the two things that the information didn't do, one was it wasn't all in one place, right? It had to go here for marketing and here for legal and here for sales, and it's really hard to put all that together. And secondly, entrepreneurs, we don't have time to sit down for 8 hours and go through some course from beginning to end.
No.
I'm going to go in. I want to get a little bit to read. I'm going to look at a five-minute video. I'll go, I kind of got that, or maybe I didn't, and I'm going to go back to it in a week and watch it again.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I want to go deeper, I can go deeper. So we really try to create a whole little, we use the term bite-sized,
mm-hmm.
little modules.
That.
You can go in and kind of learn what you need to learn, and then you go, oh, That's what that means. I still may hate it.
But I know what it means.
But I know what it means, and I know what I'm supposed to do. So when I go and I throw my version of the dinner party, I go, oh, okay, I need to have salad and a main course and dessert. And
I'll find somebody to help clean up because I really don't like that part of it or, you know, decorating or et cetera. So, yeah, that's what I really like about it a lot. The other thing that you mentioned is the community. And I think what's really important is – as you get engaged in the community, and I tend to be a connector, that's what I love to do, mm-hmm. and that's my gift. So I often think that if you're communicating in that community, well, lo and behold, there very well may be someone in that community that really complements your business. And if you're not the one that likes the financial stuff and somebody else is, yeah. that's a great reciprocity right within your own little entrepreneur community. I'm big on partnering, so I see that as a great opportunity.
Yeah, and I think also it does mean something that you're feeling the pressure and the struggle and the ups and the downs. So somebody can give you a solution who works in corporate America, who might, oh, by the way, have the same last name as you. But unless you know how to apply it in the context of, you know, not having all the resources you want to have or all the time you want to have, it doesn't make sense to you. So part of the community is really recognizing that when we're in it together, right, and we understand the context of what we're doing, the solutions may be very different.
Right.
You know, the same chocolate chip cookie problem for IBM is different for somebody that's baking them in the basement and running around doing catering right in Flemington, New Jersey.
Right.
So that's where I think the community is really about sharing, but in the context of being an entrepreneur, I mean, we just really believe that we've all probably sat across from family, friends, colleagues that say something, and we go, in our own heads, I appreciate that, but they don't get it.
Right.
And so I think the community really adds a lot to that as well.
Right. And one thing I really appreciate that you've established is we all think that we're doing this wonderful job, and we are. You know, it's our idea. We're cultivating it, and it's great. However, I learned this maybe a year ago that even though, yes, that's great, and you bring up those other things that we don't like to do, as you go through the modules, as you read through, as I have, you start to realize, wow, these are skill sets that I need in my toolbox, right? Yeah. So we all need a hammer. We all need a screwdriver. Yeah. We all need a wrench. Yeah. But there are power drills mm-hmm. that are really going to help us, or power tools, yeah. power drills, and we will have competition. As you said, there are other chocolate chip cookie people yeah. out there, right?
Yeah.
So we need to have the tools mm-hmm. so that we can compete a little more effectively,
yep.
right?
Yep. Yeah. There's definitely some biggies. And probably the biggest is differentiating. Just assume that everybody has competition from everywhere, all over the world, with people that have more time and money than you have, right? Don't worry about anybody who says to you, I don't have competition, just isn't reading the paper, right? So how do you deal with that? What you have to be able to do is, you know, take my example of chocolate chip cookies to Godiva versus chocolate chip cookies to Croatia. I was working with a company that was trying to get a car club, right? You pay a subscription fee and you get a new cool car every week. And we're like, man, that's kind of been done. And we're like, how do we think about, you know, we call it creating playgrounds where nobody else is playing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we said, well, what would make that different? And we said, well, what about women? And we're like, okay, that's better. But the men car clubs could create the women car clubs pretty quickly. And we said, well, what about women in Nashville? So all of a sudden, they took a really highly competitive market, and it turns out that nobody was doing it in Nashville. And once they got into Nashville, they realized there were two societies there and four golf clubs there, that once they got into these six places, they were the dominant car club for women in Nashville. So they took a high, so all of us have competition from everywhere. But can you create a playground where it's only you, and then you can win there. And then once you win there, you can do a bunch of different things. So that's really a power tool.
Yeah.
That, remember, we all do the same social media, we all have the same services and all that stuff, but that's one that really makes a difference.
I get so excited when I hear these things. It's really, really great tips. So we're going to have to take a break, which I hate to do when we get on a roll like this, but when we come back, we'll explore some more great tips for our audience and maybe get a little bit more into companies. You know, we're with the Hunterton yep. Chamber of Commerce, and it's mostly small to medium-sized businesses. Yep. So let's talk about that when we get back.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at...
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
I'm Carol Gable. Welcome back to Talented People. If you just joined us, I'm so sorry you missed such a great show. We only have a few minutes left. I'm with Michael Dermer. He's the author of The Lonely Entrepreneur. So, Michael, let's talk about where we are. We're at the Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. 85% of the membership is small to medium-sized businesses. I am sure within those small to medium-sized businesses, there's a ton of entrepreneurs. But there is also that 15%, some companies, for example, big financial companies that have what I would call an entrepreneur, you know, where they're inside this umbrella, but they have goals they have to meet, and they go out there lonely as a lonely entrepreneur, yeah. Whether they're an insurance rep, a real estate agent. We have tons and tons of ideas, you know, and I'm looking at you saying, yeah. We know who those people are, but... even though they're not walking alone, they are lonely. So this isn't only for somebody starting a business. This is, as you said, a mindset. Mm-hmm. What are the benefits of companies if they could get into that mindset of their employees understanding entrepreneurship? Like, what would happen to those companies?
Yeah. So if you think of the famous story of Blockbuster, right? And, you know, Blockbuster just decided to do today what it did yesterday, and now this global giant is gone. Everybody today within an organization, whether you're a 5-person organization or a 50,000-person organization, if you don't think differently or more entrepreneurial, you will die. And so almost everybody within companies are saying two things. One is, how do I get my employees to think more entrepreneurial? Doesn't mean that they leave the company and start a business, but how do I get them to think differently, right, about the problems, which is exactly what an entrepreneur needs to do, right? Secondly is, you know, with the level of employment, certainly here in the United States, if people want to keep great talent, they're going to have to teach them the skills that they want in life, and right. Those skills are entrepreneurial skills. So what we did was we took the Lonely Entrepreneur community and we make it available to companies, right? So basically they take the community and they make it available to their employees so their employees can – apply the same types of skills. It's in a different context, to your point before. It's not I'm leaving to start the chocolate chip cookie business.
Right.
But it might be I change the way I do things in the chocolate chip factory, right? Because I learned something about what it means to think entrepreneurially and have that mindset. You know,
right.
Anybody that is not thinking about entrepreneurism, even if they're going to work for corporate America, right, is really going to fall behind. And if you look at the difference between, you know, Pittsburgh and Detroit, Detroit, unfortunately, wonderful city, you know, coming back now, but basically bankrupt. Pittsburgh had the basically same profile, manufacturing, blue collar, and is booming because they thought entrepreneurially. They thought differently at the time, and instead of going down, they created all these different businesses around all different fuel and natural gas and all these different things. And it was only because they thought entrepreneurially. So companies have to think entrepreneurially or they run the risk of just being competed out of business.
Yeah, it's amazing to me, you know, and I also see where companies are doing more with less. Mm-hmm. So you're almost prompted to follow that lead. For example, you know, if somebody leaves the company and they're not thinking entrepreneurial, the company, somebody leaves, you have a loss, right? So mm-hmm. who's taking that over? Or perhaps within that company, in one role, they hold the golden egg.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody thought, wow, somebody else should really cross-train with that person mm-hmm. so that we all share the wealth. Mm-hmm. So in case something does happen, we're all able to pick up the ball. It may not be what we do best, but I could definitely sit in for Michael one day because I understand enough to get through the day doing what he does.
You know, there's enough people out there in your listenership that run companies, whether they be 5-person companies or 50,000-person companies. And in running those companies, you're doing a disservice if you come to work every day and simply say, I can't believe my employees do the same thing they did yesterday. Right? It's your job as the leader, right, to challenge and empower your employees to think entrepreneurially and not just have that be a word. Like, people talk about entrepreneurism and innovation, but how do you actually put that into your company and make it happen?
Right.
So that somebody who's in a factory or somebody who's in a real estate sales office or someone who's a financial professional out there, whatever it may be, is actually applying some of those entrepreneurial skills out in the field. But it's really incumbent on the leadership to come into the office every day and say, I can't believe people were doing yesterday what they did the day before. That's a failure of leadership. And so leadership really has to embrace the journey that if I'm going to do this, I've got to put my money where my mouth is because I'm one phone call away from realizing I'm out of business. And that's not just for a 10-person company. Those are for companies like Blockbuster, right, that don't exist anymore and had all the resources in the world. So it's really this kind of worldwide global movement. If you think about the Middle East, one of the first things on their agenda is we're running out of oil. We better spur entrepreneurism.
Wow. And I didn't know that.
And they get it, right? Because they understand that the world's going to move and everybody has to think that way.
Well, we're always thinking now in global terms, you know. So I'd like to go back to leadership again, you know, starting with the C-suite or, you know, that they don't know what they don't know, right?
Yeah.
And they've always been leading this way. Mm-hmm. It worked for us before. It's always going to work,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, and I think, you know, and to some degree, you know, that change, even though it may be frightening, it's really the best thing for them if they could just. And are there tips that you would give leadership or even those entrepreneurs in the company? You know, because a lot of them want to be a little more assertive and they want to do things like that. How would somebody within a company, an entrepreneur, start to do that?
You know, one of the things that we've done within big companies that's a little bit of a disservice is we've just kind of thrown these words out there like, okay, we want to be more entrepreneurial, and we don't give them the tools to be able to do it. So one way to do it, and this is both for the individual entrepreneur and the companies, is to create process around it, right? To create a weekly meeting in a department where you come together and all you're going to do is talk about new and different ideas, right? So a lot of times you have to create a process that's regular, right? And a lot of times people say, well, wait a minute, process, that's not for us, that's for IBM. We're just mm-hmm. a 20-person company. But if you just leave entrepreneurism to people in their busy days, they have more to do than they have time.
Right, right.
So you can actually implement it by saying, okay, number one, how do I build some process so it becomes regular and consistent, right? How do I empower people within that process to step up, right? Not be the ones that raise their hand. The ones that raise their hand in a lot of organizations to do things differently are often the ones that are pushed down. So how do I actually
reward
and encourage that by tying financial compensation to it, right? Or really championing that. And that's why it really starts with the leadership. So you can do things that take process, take tools. That's why we, you know, made the Lonely Entrepreneur community available to companies, because we wanted to turn it from just a word into what you can actually do. And then people feel really empowered. Sometimes it'll be a basis for not losing great talent. You might have talent that's performing and doing well, but kind of bored, and you know, they're one phone call away from being recruited away from your company, which would be a huge hit.
Right.
But if you challenge them and you give them a process and tools to be more entrepreneurial, it can be the next stage of their development as a company.
You know, I often, we do a lot of networking, and I look at people, I watch them as they engage or they do not engage. And it's similar in a company, you know, like employees will nomadically walk around doing their jobs because they've always done it the same way.
Yeah.
And when you think about what could be, mm-hmm. that's when you really start to say, wow, we, you know, everybody really needs to think in that mindset of being an entrepreneur. We only have a few minutes left, so I want, for all of our listeners that want to get in touch with you, how can they reach you, Michael?
So just lonelyentrepreneur.com, and the book is available on Amazon. If anybody wants to write me directly, it's my email is michael.dermer@lonelyentrepreneur.com. I'd love hearing from people. We're all over Twitter, it's at the Lonely E. We're all over Facebook and Instagram, and you can follow us all over the place. And we're always putting out, hopefully, tips and insights that make people better. But the best place to find us is really at lonelyentrepreneur.com.
Okay. Any last big piece of information you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Yeah. I would just say that you really have to think of being an entrepreneur as not a job, but an identity. You know, for like the moms out there, they don't wake up on Thursday and say, I'm not going to be a mom today. And the first time they had the first baby, they're like, I'm not that good at this.
Right.
And
right.
You kinda,
great analogy.
Right. You kind of embrace the journey of getting better. And if you're a golfer, it's the same thing. You work on your game. You really have to think of being an entrepreneur as an identity and embrace the kind of the humility and learning that it undertakes to get better at it. And then you start to see results in your business. And there's no feeling like it when you actually do see that.
Thank you for making us better. Nice to have you in the studio.
Thanks so much for having me.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
We are restoring our government's allegiance to its people, to its citizens, to the people that we all love.
President Trump at a rally last night in Ohio talking about what his administration has done to bring jobs back to the U.S. and to help curtail illegal immigration on the southern border.
We are keeping our promises to the people. And yes, we are putting finally, we are putting America first.
A Pakistani man under investigation for illegally accessing the computer system of the House of Representatives arrested trying to flee the country. Imran Awan was charged with bank fraud in a case unrelated to the hacking investigation. Awan worked for a number of Democratic congressmen and until yesterday was on the payroll of Democrat Debbie Wasserman Schultz. And the Fed says they may raise interest rates one more time this year, but it won't be in July. They're leaving rates the same. USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn for pre-1933.com. I've been the single biggest BBB, backer, believer, and buyer of gold for over 15 years. But now I've found a better way to buy gold. I found the Uber of gold. This company, pre-1933.com, will forever change the way gold is sold. Pre-1933.com is a wholesaler of pre-1933 gold. They have no salesmen, zero commission, prices no one can compete with. Call 855-PRE-1933. That's toll-free, 855-773-1933, or go to pre-1933.com.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Think you can't manage the down payment it takes to purchase a new home? Think again. You could move into a $150,000 home with as little as $1,500 down with our 1% down payment option. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.19%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
President Trump says the head of Apple promised him at least three new plants from Apple in the United States. Here's Mark Mayfield.
The president told the Wall Street Journal in an interview published Tuesday that Apple CEO Tim Cook called him to say the company would do more domestic manufacturing. Trump was quoted as saying he promised me three big plants. Big, big, big. Apple has not commented on the report. The iPhone company announced in May it would start a $1 billion fund to promote manufacturing jobs in the U.S.
Fire crews say they are gaining ground on the biggest wildfire in the U.S. Over 650 firefighters from more than 30 states are in Montana battling the lightning-caused Lodgepole Complex fire. The fire has burned more than 270,000 acres, torched more than 20 buildings.